that way we can have better discussions. Thank you. Thank you. Good afternoon, everybody, and thank you very much for joining the workshop of the Commonwealth Cybercrime Initiative here at ICANN Prague. The current workshop will follow similar footsteps to the one we had at the Costa Rica meeting in March. To begin with, my name is Alice Munua from the Government of Kenya, and I'm currently serving as the chairperson of the Commonwealth Cybercrime Initiative Steering Group, which is a multi-stakeholder pillar of this initiative. It is a great pleasure to welcome you all to the CCI, and thanks to ICANN for providing the space and support to have this workshop. I'll start by briefly telling you about the initiative or the objectives of the initiative. The development of this initiative was driven by the exponential growth of the internet and, of course, the urgent need to enhance the global fight against cybercrime. Currently, we have nearly 2 billion users connected to the internet, and that is obviously expected to rise by 5 billion in 2015. So the cost and lack of productivity for business and governments caused by increasing criminal activity online is something that needs to be addressed through global effort and collaboration, and the Commonwealth has thought to play its part in this. The Commonwealth is an institution of about 54 countries sharing the same language, an institutional setup, and it can leverage these commonalities to speed up and fast-track assistance, especially to developing countries and regions within its membership and beyond. We have a model law on computer and computer-related crime, which can act as an off-the-shelf toolkit for countries requiring to implement legislation. And the model law also enables countries to put forward to harmonize the global standards in relation to cyber criminality. A proposal for a Commonwealth-led initiative was first presented to heads of government at the meeting last year in Perth, Australia, to help countries gain the necessary capacity to address cybercrime by way of policy, legislation, technical and institutional capacity. This was then endorsed at the meeting in Nairobi in 2011, and the initiative is currently moving from concept to implementation, and I think we have a lot to report on that the next speakers. The governance structures have been formulated in a constitution and a statement of purpose, and the initiative is now moving forward with an in-country project and requests received through established networks of the Commonwealth. The initiative has enjoyed a long consultation process last summer leading up to the IGF in Nairobi, and through this process we have forged very meaningful partnerships with approximately 20 members so far, which include the CTO, the Council of Europe, ITU, and of course ICANN and others. Partnerships include government, industry, not-for-profit organization, and it's this collaborative approach that the initiative aims to decrease duplication of efforts and maximizing the resources that are available in a meaningful and sustainable way. So I would like to now welcome... another issue is just the governance structure of the initiative itself. It has three pillars, which consists of a steering group composed of various representatives from partner organization, an executive management group composed of representatives from contributing and non-contributing governments, the Commonwealth Secretariat, and the Secretariat hosted and managed by ComNet Foundation for ICT Development. As briefly mentioned earlier, the initiative already received several requests for assistance, and the initiative is currently working with the government of Ghana, and we're going to hear a little bit about that. And we have other requests from the Caribbean and Pacific regions as well, which are currently being evaluated and negotiated. So why are we here today? The purpose of this meeting is mainly, just like the other one, similar one, is to raise awareness of the initiative among the various stakeholders, amongst governments and law enforcement agencies, so they may become aware of the possibilities and functions of this initiative and how to exploit the assistance provided by the initiative itself. It's also an opportunity for new partnerships to be forged. And through the discussions, we hope we can better shape the program itself as it continues to evolve. The first half of this workshop will focus on presentations outlined on the agenda. I'm sure, I don't know whether you have the agenda with you, or it's going to be broadcast up there. And Tim will speak about the value added. Then Joe from ComNet will provide us with an insight on the current status of the initiative. Dave from ICANN will present a contribution on the Caribbean, and Techie will provide a government perspective from the government of Ghana. After the discussions, we hoped to address the topics of how members of the audiences can contribute and become part of the CCI, and how to encourage governments to take up the initiative, the technical resources and capacity of the CCI, and finally areas for further development of the initiative. So, and we'll be very happy to take questions as the discussions progress. Finally, after the discussions, Lara from ComNet here will go through the process of formally requesting assistance from the CCI. Thank you. So I'd like to welcome the first speaker, Tim, over to you. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, Alice. Good afternoon. I'm Tim Crosland from the UK's Serious Organised Crime Agency, and we're one of the partners to the CCI, and this is really just a short presentation on why we think this is a valuable approach in terms of working together to develop a safe cyberspace. Perhaps a lot of people's first reaction to hearing about CCI is not another new organisation looking at cybercrime, and in some ways that reaction is completely correct. This is not another new organisation working on cybercrime. It's a new multi-stakeholder approach to developing a safe cyberspace internationally, and really what it's about is drawing together the existing capacity of organisations that are already out there, and providing a way for organisations like ICANN, UNODC, Council of Europe, ITU, CTO, and many others to collaborate in an effective format. Why is a new approach required? In some ways, I think we all recognise why. The task of developing a safe cyberspace is now seen as being absolutely vital, not only to national and international security, but also to the realisation of the Millennium Development Goals. As ICTs are seen as central to developing economic growth, we see a risk for certain countries that promote their critical national infrastructure using ICTs, because if those can be undermined quickly, because the states don't have experience of dealing with cybercrime and cybersecurity themselves, the central program for economic growth centering around ICTs may in certain circumstances even backfire, so that where cybercrime takes hold, it ends up damaging the reputation of the country as a whole for a place for investment and growth. Clearly, the task of working together to keep pace with the reliance on ICTs is an immense one, and that is what makes it so important that the available resource that we have is deployed in a way that is efficient, intelligent, and sustainable. And sometimes it's not always been clear that is the case. There's pressure on a lot of organisations to show that they are doing something to assist internationally. And the question is often, well, where do we start? We've got a budget, we've got a mandate. to do something about cybercrime, we've got to show that we've done something at the end of this year. So let's send out some people to train law enforcement, you know, wherever it is. Let's set up a new laboratory. But without a framework and without a context, it's not always clear that these good intentions do that much more than making people feel good. Because if you're training law enforcement, for example, at a point when they don't have the relevant legislation in place, is that necessarily really going to be helpful? You're training them on laws that they don't have. If we assist and put in a forensic laboratory at a point at which we really just don't have the expertise in country to use that in the right way, it may not come to very much. So how does the CCI aim to achieve this sort of coherent approach? Essentially, it's a simple concept, providing a platform that brings together all the major players in this field so that common priorities can be agreed, duplication can be avoided, and different mandates can be pursued in a way that is complementary. Who stands to gain from CCI? I suppose it's a slightly rhetorical question. And short answer is really everybody wanting to use cyberspace for lawful purposes. So that is both the requesting states, for whom a safe cyberspace can mean security for their critical national infrastructure, where they're dependent on ICTs, an environment in which key government services can be delivered online, an environment attracting investment and promoting innovation and growth. But also the wider international community benefits insofar as cybercrime, as we all know, presents a common threat wherever it is based. Who can make a request to CCI? Well, CCI is aimed principally at Commonwealth states, which would benefit from assistance and international experience in developing their defences against cybercrime. But CCI does aim to avoid hard lines wherever they get in the way of common sense. I think perhaps one example of that is the division between cybersecurity and cybercrime. One can have lots and lots of interesting discussion about that. But when we get into country and we're looking at the things that make a state vulnerable to cybercrime, well, cybersecurity is clearly one part of that. Good cybersecurity helps prevent cybercrime. So we don't want any hard lines around that. And in the same way, where we get a request for assistance in developing a regional approach, perhaps where the region consists of a number of small states, CCI's constitution allows it to provide assistance across the whole region, regardless of whether all the states happen to belong to the Commonwealth. What can CCI help with? It will look at specific queries, such as a request to assist with establishing a cert, to conduct a training and resource needs analysis for law enforcement, or a review of legislation. Or it can deal with a very sort of general query that says, we feel we need some help in getting things right around cybercrime and cybersecurity, not quite sure where to start, and we'd really appreciate some assistance just in getting our strategy right at the outset. But in either case, the one point that is absolutely critical is that all assistance is contextualised within a national strategy, which indicates the value and sustainability of the assistance and commitments on the part of the requesting state. Just imagining the conversation does start with the sort of we've got a problem, but we're not quite sure what it is and how we go about solving it. CCI has developed a comprehensive checklist of all the different kinds of things that one needs to look at, and this can provide a basis for the discussion with in-country stakeholders. So we might talk about elements such as the role of the national cybercrime strategy, securing national ICT infrastructure, implementing a national cert, review of legislation, a training resource needs analysis for law enforcement, etc. So how does this all work in practice? If a general request comes in, CCI might consider sending out a scoping team to conduct a gap analysis, and that will be really assessed against the checklist. Depending on the circumstances, the team might consist of experts covering a variety of different bases. So you might have a security expert, somebody with an in-depth ICT background, a law enforcement officer, a lawyer, whatever we think we need. And then the scoping team will prepare a report analysing where further work is required. And this is really designed to help states in requesting more specific forms of assistance. And that then puts CCI into a position that it can coordinate across its partners. So we say, look, there's a request here to forge links with a university to help develop the research capabilities and training capabilities in country. Is there a partner who can help with that side of things? There's a request to launch a public awareness campaign around cybersecurity, cyber hygiene. Someone got experience of that, someone we can put the state in touch with. How will work be funded? In the first place, as far as possible, the idea is to coordinate existing mandates and funding streams. So the first question is, well, how much of this can be done in kind? Because we've got organisations out there whose job is to provide this sort of help. In some cases, clearly, there will be a requirement for funding. If the state itself hasn't got the funding available, then CCI can assist in securing funding from relevant bodies, helping to draft tenders and this sort of thing. This is a question that's been asked a few times. Why the Commonwealth? And it can seem like a sort of glass half empty type question because, well, this is something. This is really quite a lot of the planet in a way. It's 55 states, I think, at the moment. But the short answer, the sort of factual answer to that question, is that this is a project with origins in the Commonwealth, with origins in the Commonwealth Internet Governance Forum, as Alice mentioned earlier on. And in fact, it was the Commonwealth heads of government in Perth last year who expressed their commitment to improving international security by improving legislation and capacity in tackling cybercrime and other cyberspace security threats, including through the Commonwealth Cybercrime Initiative. There are some advantages in starting off working in the Commonwealth. We've got common legal traditions, the common law, also got the model law and the Harari scheme, common language. But I think this is really important. This is just a starting point. It's the first time anyone's really attempted to do something on this scale, in this field. And if it continues to work as it's currently doing, well, clearly it is a model for a more global approach. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, Tim, and I would like to call upon Joe Tabon next.
Thank you very much, Alice. Well, much of what I was planning to say has been covered already, so I can probably go and have my nap this afternoon. But I'll add a little, possibly maybe helpful, if I really added a bit of a context to the initiative, really how it came about. And then the purpose of my session was really to give you the status of, you know, where you know where it's at. So just touching a little on going back on how this really started, probably about 4 years ago, the really Commonwealth Secretariat, as really part of an ICT for Development program, thought that given the really increasing prevalence of the really Commonwealth of the internet in our lives, it would be a good idea to set up a Commonwealth Internet Governance Forum. The purpose of setting up such a forum was, again, with an understanding that, unfortunately, a number of Commonwealth member countries are not able to or adequately represented at internet-related fora, whether it's ICANN meetings or at the IGF. So the purpose of the Commonwealth IGF was it had the objective of, in a way, trying to draw many member countries into some of these processes where they were not able to, that the Commonwealth IGF would provide outreach to these many countries by really informing them of developments. In the course of really setting up the Commonwealth Forum, though, we also made an attempt to engage stakeholders in order to get a sense, you know, from them about, you know, what they saw as the really major public policy issues that were concerning them. And this we did at every opportunity that we had. The really Commonwealth itself organizes a range of training and development activities on different continents. We also have been having these really workshops since the Commonwealth Forum was set up really about 4 years ago. And really consistently, when we have these discussions with stakeholders about what they saw as the major really public policy issues, you had sort of the same litany of issues effectively being articulated. And these had to do with access was a really major issue that invariably came up. Another one had to do with content. Two major issues that were always at the top of really concerns of people were the security of the internet, and one aspect of that is also really child protection. And in the really course of our deliberations, I suppose, within the Commonwealth on really how to deal with this really concern, we knew that there were a lot of conferences, talk shops relating to the subject. I think in the past 2 or 3 years there has been an attempt again on the part of the Commonwealth to introduce modules having to do with internet governance and the issue security. But in the end, the Commonwealth saw the need for something that is really more coherent, I think, along the lines that you know have been described by Tim. I think, on the one hand, there really was really an understanding about the multitude of activities that were taking place, and you know, all over the globe, by way of training that was being provided, really most particularly to law enforcement agencies and to prosecutors and to judges. Much of really what was taking place was, and this is really not analysis, but it was really the observation of the people that we were talking to, that the activities that were taking place were, you know, fragmented. They weren't really part of some really broad picture that was of a country that was looking at the needs, really starting with the legal frameworks that they need to have. So the concept of really a comprehensive and a coherent initiative came as a result of this feedback that we had with stakeholders, and as a result of that, there were a number of many countries that a task group was really put together, a work team was really put together. The many people who were involved in the formulation of this concept are sitting around this table, representative from the UK, from Canada, representatives from Sri Lanka. We had Zahid, who was one of the prime contributors to the initiative. So that's really how the concept really came about. The other factor, I suppose, that contributed to the Commonwealth trying to come up with something that is more coherent, comprehensive, was the sensitivity that there is that the internet was just changing so rapidly, and particularly the growth that we are experiencing and that we envisage in the next short while, as a result of the internationalized video TLDs, and now the expansion of the generic space, where we've seen video development, as was being said this morning, of video internet with about 2 billion people accessing it video today. That this will probably double. That's taken about 15 years to achieve that. It's going to take 12 to really 24 months to double that. So if security was an issue yesterday, this assumes a far greater urgency today. And so that is the context, for this and the driving force behind this initiative. The other point that I want to say about this is that the Commonwealth, in taking this initiative, was doing this in sort of recognition that the Commonwealth, as an organization by the Commonwealth here, not the Commonwealth member states, but the Commonwealth Secretariat, has little by way of inherent capacity, really technical, to deal with this. But what it was sought to do in this is to join entities, organizations that historically have had this the capacity in this area, or the resources to contribute really to it. And so in the course of this, and really as part of the formulation, the Commonwealth drew in really a number of very critical partners who have been prominent in some contribution to the cybercrime and cybersecurity capacity building. These were the Council of Europe, by virtue of the only really global convention that there is on cybercrime today, the ITU, by virtue of the historical mandate having to do with telecommunications, and the toolkit that they have developed for regulators, but also a toolkit really on cybercrime, but additional capacity that ITU has by way of providing really substantive technical support to countries in a range of capacity building activities. The initiative is about the internet, so a principal player in that is ICANN. So ICANN is really one of the really partners in the initiative, which has much to contribute and is actually contributing much to the initiative as we speak. And I think David will be talking to us about this. So in all, there are. And this is again really part of the uniqueness of this. There are really 25 different organizations that are involved in this partnership, each really contributing really something to it by way of expertise or other type of resources. So that is the background to it, and now we're in the process of translating this into really some substantive reality on the ground. I think that the challenge that there is in this is significant. I think it's really probably a threat that we have probably chosen not to speak about too much in the past. And I was a national regulator for really about 8 years, and on the one hand, I was very much driven by promoting connectivity to the extent that's possible for citizens and for the really general public. At the same time, I also understood, recognized some of the inherent really downside security risks in this. But I think that we're now at a stage where there is the need for some very, very significant capacity building really in a number of countries. Where we are in the translation in this is there is, as Alice mentioned, a governance structure that has been developed now, which really consists of three parts. There is a board, which we call an executive management group, and that is drawn from governments who are contributing in a financial way to the initiative. And in addition to that, there's the really Commonwealth Secretariat, who is a member of that board. Then the really substance of the initiative is a steering group, which is chaired by Alice. And the steering group is drawn from all the participating agencies. So there are about 25 people sitting around this table. This is the group that identifies prospects and the group who will be really contributing really capabilities to the initiative. And then there's a secretariat, which is the secretariat service provided by COMNET, which is an international foundation that is set up in Malta. With regards to specific really project activities and prospects, there is the first project that we've been working with and we were very interested in using as a pilot is in Ghana. And I think that we have a representative from the government of Ghana, Teke, who will be speaking to us really about that. The really government had invited us first to assist them in the development of a national strategy on really cybercrime, and as a subset of that, the government was seeking assistance with the setting up of a national CERT. So I think that will provide some details of that. Then project in prospect. There are several, but two major ones that we hope will really come on stream in the next short while. As a matter of fact, they have been the subject of some very, very considerable discussion in the really last 6 months. One is really assistance to the Secretariat for the Pacific in the redrawing up of a regional strategy for cybercrime, and a similar really initiative this time really working with the Caribbean Telecommunications Union for similar assistance in the development of regional strategies. I think in the two instances, the regions by virtue of the geographic really makeup, the really number of really sovereign countries, the size of really some of these really countries, the distance and really lack of really capabilities they have, there's a recognition that that there's really eminent logic in addressing some of the capacity requirements on a regional basis, that it may not be very cost-effective to try and develop some capabilities given the size of some of these really countries at a national level. So so that's the logic, the arguments behind the regional approach, and the regional approach is really a choice of the region, not one that is in any way being imposed by the Commonwealth. And then there's really another very specific really project in another African country. It wouldn't be appropriate for me to mention at this really particular point in time. I think with respect to the Caribbean region, again, there's as recently as really 2 weeks ago, there have been two meetings, two ministers' meetings, one in December and one about 3 weeks ago on the really subject, broad subject of ICT for development. But then very specifically, a good part of the agenda was given to the aspect of really securing really cyber borders. And there's a consensus in the Caribbean about the regional approach. There's a consensus on the criticality of really collaboration between the really different countries, and also capitalizing on the really goodwill of the many really multilateral really agencies who are interested in providing the assistance. Having said that, it's also recognized that it may be difficult to get really all the countries signed up to really working on a regional strategy. And I think that the approach that is really being adopted is that there have been really a number of countries, probably about six of them, who are ready to start working on a strategy. And as a follow-up meeting that is being convened now for this really coming August, where hopefully there will be a framework with specific objectives that will be developed and time frames. So I think that's about where we are with this. I had a note here about how to encourage take-up. I think that Tim spoke a little about that. One of the reasons why we have these type of sessions is to develop as much awareness about this as possible, and we use a range of vehicles for that. So if anybody here is interested in any additional information, we'll be very happy to provide that. Lara will speak later about how requests are made. I think one of the things that we make as a really condition in this is that we want to make sure that there is a political commitment before we deploy any resources to this, and then that the a recipient country is also committed to freedom of expression and human rights. So I think I'll pass this on now to Alice, yes, and I'll be happy to answer questions later. Thank you.
Thank you, Joe. I'd like to welcome ICANN's Dave to give us a presentation on ICANN's contribution so far. Thank you.
My name is Dave Piscatello. I'm the senior security technologist at ICANN, and I'd like to share with you today the ICANN perspective about the initiative and provide a status report of some of the things that we have attempted to bring to the initiative since our participation began, I believe, last December. One of the important and initial observations I made when I first participated with the steering group is that there was a great deal of synergy between some of the things that ICANN considers its core values with respect to our own governance area, which is Internet name systems. We believe that the initiative will enhance operational stability, reliability, and security of the Internet. And this is one of our core values, and it's a very important one for us. In fact, we have an entire program called Security, Stability, and Resiliency within the ICANN community that is driven largely by my security team, which is led by Jeff Moss. And so we looked at what the CCI wanted to do, and we saw that there was a fairly great deal of overlap, and the complement that we saw in the kinds of education and training, in particular for DNS operators, was a very nice fit, if not a dovetail. Having come from private sector, one of the things that I observed over the many years that we had to fight this, fight this battle with relatively little, participation and involvement from many governments. What is that? One of the keys to success, one of the most important keys to success, is agility. I think I've mentioned this probably so many times during a CCI meeting that people are tired of hearing it from me, but. The criminals are are much faster than we are. Picture Sir Francis Drake and his tiny little privateers fighting the Spanish Armada. Well, we're not the privateers. We're in the large ships that are not moving very fast, and we're getting killed. So one of the things that I've been emphasizing is that we need to spend less time in discussing. How to do things, and more time in actually executing. And so I've been most of my career a get things done and ask forgiveness as opposed to permission. I'm not sure that actually fits very well in governance, but it actually is important for somebody in the room to say, let's get this done. So one of the things I hope we can do, and I think we're starting to exhibit, is try to help help a relatively large process move at least with some agility in areas where we already know, as Tim pointed out, that there's an opportunity for in-kind participation. The second thing that I think is very, very important is I think within the Commonwealth there is a baseline of trust that is absolutely essential in order to to solve any problem that's associated with cybercrime. The private sector, especially with work with law enforcement over the past several years, there's a tremendous amount of personal contact and trust that's necessary to grow these things. And so I was very happy to see that that this is an important criteria for the CCI. And I think that one of the things that we might be able to do is lead by example. I think if the Commonwealth countries can go and they can cooperate with and cooperate as well with companies or organizations like ICANN and others, then other nations may follow. And I think that that's a very, very important objective for us. ICANN's a non-government agency, and I in particular am not a citizen of a Commonwealth nation, but one of the things that I think we also want to do is demonstrate that this is a global a global problem, and it's going to be solved reaching out beyond borders and grabbing people with expertise and with willingness and energy to actually try to solve the problem. So in that spirit, and one of the things that we promoted when we came back to ICANN and talked about what could we do was we already do capacity building. This is part of our mission. It's part of the part of our budget. We provide DNS training programs for CCTLD operators. We provide DNS SEC training programs for operators, and we are engaged very, very meaningfully with the broader security community, with organizations like the Anti-Phishing Working Group, the Messaging Anti-Abuse Working Group, it should be MWAWG, by the way, and others. And we work with many law enforcement agents. We visit law enforcement agencies. Whenever we have the opportunity, we share our training material. And so I think that we have a fit here because this is right in our wheelhouse. This is one of the things that we do and we try to do well. I also think that it's going to be very important for the Commonwealth and for governments in general to understand the importance of working with the private sector. And not only because the private sector has a role, but because the private sector has an incentive. And I would encourage the Commonwealth to, in particular, think not about all the private sector partners exclusively as a source of funding and equipment and training, but also to understand that they have an incentive that is not always obvious. I mean, one of the things that is most challenging for multinational companies, for global presence companies, is that they're victim to the lowest hanging fruit. So the weakest of the countries, cybersecurity, is going to affect them, and that's where you're going to find the locus of badness, so to speak, or loci of badness, because there's more than one. And so one of the things that I'm hoping is that we can start to think globally, from both a public and private perspective, of increasing what I call the global security baseline. Every time we raise the level of security I don't want to say worst offenders, but it's applicable, of the worst offenders, and we eliminate some locus of badness on the internet, we help every single company, every single nation, every single citizen. So I think that that's a very, very important factor in what we're trying to do. So what specifically is ICANN going to contribute? And Tim's phrase is in-kind participation. I call it sweat equity because I came from sort of the startup environment where you come in, you work 1,000 hours a week, your wife and family leave you or can't remember you when you walk in 3 months later, but you've taken something from concept to inception. One of the things that we do have quite a bit of very senior talent and leadership in is the DNS and internet security expertise. My group alone represents, I think there's six of us, and we represent nearly 125 years of expertise. We not only do we have that to lend to the community, but we also have a different perspective because many of us have already had to tackle this from a private sector perspective. And we already, as I said, offer DNS training as part of our capacity building for the broader internet, and what we intend to do is try to focus a significant amount of that on helping Commonwealth members at least in the near budget. This is where we intend to direct a significant amount of our effort. We do two kinds of training. In particular, we go to an operator, and we help them build out their infrastructure. We teach them essentially how to run a name server, how to manage the name server, how to secure their operational facility from physical level to hardware through to the virtual or what people call traditional internet security. Then also encourage DNSSEC deployment, because one of the things that we're very keen to do is to try to improve trust and confidence and accuracy or integrity in the name service, because it's such a critical component of every single transaction on the internet. If you can't resolve a name to an address, you're basically not going to work very well in today's internet with millions and millions and millions of websites and mailers and the like. So we have this shared objective, and one of the things that we hope is that by our participation, we actually help our own community, because it will grow. We think that we will be able to see a value in bringing existing registries that are not as robust and secure as some of the larger registries that have been in place for for decades, the CommonNet and org registries as an example. And also info and biz and the like. We feel that when we get this baseline up, we'll have a much more resilient and effective global DNS. We also think that as we manage to sort of complete our cycle, and the last delivery of what we would do in training is to help Commonwealth members sign zones, build out this trust model throughout the entire Commonwealth. And so one of the personal objectives I would place for ICANN, and what I would think it would be a tremendous win, is that we have every Commonwealth country with a signed TLD zone within a reasonable number of years. The other thing that we try to do that is I think critically important to understanding how this all succeeds is that when we work with an operator, we try to introduce them into the global network of operators. We try to bring them into the club, so to speak. We want them to build out their own confidence in their system, so that they can go and they can participate as peers with the rest of the community. They can go in a room with the folks at VeriSign, with the folks at Afilias, and they know that their practices are good, and they know that that their product is good, and that respect and that recognition and trust actually works really well, because then when they have a problem or an issue, they know exactly who to go to. They know exactly what kinds of responses they can get, and they can also continue to sort of pay it forward, and they can use it to help build capacity in other Commonwealth nations. So I think that there's a lot of sharing that can go on here. So let me tell you what we have done thus far. From June 11th through the 15th, the CTU. Actually held an event called Carib Nog in Port-au-Prince, Trinidad. And cooperating with ComNet and the CTU, ICANN brought some of its training people and programs to the conference. We designated an entire day for DNS training, and we did four modules of what is normally a very, very large set of training programs. We taught some DNS basics. We provided the fundamentals of DNSSEC. Then we provided an in-depth DNSSEC session. And then we did a signing demonstration. Now, signing demonstration sounds like one of these canned demos at a conference or a trade show. Well, this is really much more than that, because one of the things that we try to emphasize is the criticality of actually having a very, very secure and trusted signing, because cryptography that is used here is essential, and compromise of the keys in the cryptography is a catastrophic event for a TLD operator. So we impress on them that there's going to be some physical provisioning, there's going to be some extremely important functions associated with the signing that are critical. And so we start to put them in this mode of, cryptography is very cool, cryptography is very important, and we turn them all into geeks. So that's my goal, is to have everybody become a nerd by the time that we're done. So we had 50-plus people in attendance. We also had some remote participation. I'm very encouraged that the remote participation, was present, and I think that we're going to try to encourage that, in the future for whatever we do. We will attempt to follow up with this training with more successive training. This is not what is euphemistically called a one and done, or do it once and forget. In security, in networking, at an operational level, repetition is the key to learning. And the more that you do these things, the more that you're exposed to the technical side of this, the stronger your operations can be, because then things become rote. You know instinctively when things are going wrong, and it's like brewing beer. You know when to turn the temperature up, you know when to turn the temperature down, because you've done it so often. So we will continue to coordinate with the CTU and with ComNet to arrange some targeted and longer and more formal training so that we build capacity in the Caribbean region. It's a challenging region because of the geographical diversity. It's a challenging region because of some of the visa problems we would have if we tried to bring many of these country participants to the United States or to Puerto Rico or to someplace else that would be more convenient for us. But we'll get down there and we'll figure out how to actually overcome that. We have people. I believe Richard Lamb is here, and so is John Crane. Both Richard and John perform the training. They're very familiar with the on the ground people at Packet Clearinghouse, who are very instrumental in how the CTU operates. And we're going to have some really significant dialogue with them when we finally settle down after this meeting and break in our new CEO. I think that what we can do is we can do quite a bit more in the region to improve what we've already done. And as I said, one of the things that we'd like to start to do is train trainers or to pre-record and deliver the training remotely so that we can maybe make this a much more easily intractable deliverable to other parts of the parts of the globe. So just to finish, this is like proof positive that we actually were training. There's John's, John in his not suit. This is John in his suit over here. And Richard, they did, by the way, having John, this is a singular event. I've never seen John in the suit. And I've worked with him for 8 years. Richard has done a lot of work in the Caribbean, and many of you, if you go and you talk with with any of the operational people in your countries, and you mention either John or Richard, you'll get very, very high praise for both of them. So we're really we're really very happy to be able to bring this kind of talent to bear, and I think that we've got a very good start. Our goal here is to give some early successes to the CCI and to allow them to go to countries and say, look what we're doing without any money. Imagine if we had some. So with that, if you have any questions, as Joe pointed out, we can answer them when we finished all the rest of the presentations. Thank you.
Thank you, Dave. I think I'd like to invite a perspective from national governments. I'd like to invite Teti from Ghana. Thank you.
Thank you, Alice. From the Ghana perspective, we found the CCI initiative as an approach to deal with our cybercrime policy, because when we realized that the approach, the best way to deal with cybercrime, which was baffling our country, was to look at a multi-stakeholder approach, that is to harmonize existing systems and legislations to ensure that there can be enforcement. And we found the Cybercrime Initiative as a very good platform because, one, it brought together all the key partners that already government was engaged with. An example was the ITU and several other organizations that we were already working with. And to take it from there, we wrote to CCI and requested that they come in. We went in with a specific request, that is to help us with our set capability. And what came back, which was a good result, was to have a scoping mission with their team come into the country, look at what exactly is happening in our country now. And as a result of that, that scoping mission, we had some key revelations, which was very good for the country and government in terms of a holistic approach to dealing with cybercrime within the country. One of the main areas which I'd like to share with you that came out of it was our need to finalize and put together our policy and strategy. And for this, we are going to look at the next steps, which is involve CCI with a team that already government has engaged on the ground to see how best we can collaborate. The important thing is that CCI brings on board experts, which hitherto we do not necessarily have, who can come and share their own experiences with us. So to a large extent, we do not have to reinvent the wheel in implementing our cybersecurity strategy and policies. But our people on board with their team can come up with an effective system and policy that can be best implemented in line with global best practice, which is the government of Ghana's policy in dealing with cybercrime. We also going to go ahead with the set capability assistance, which was something that we had started working on with the ITU. And like I mentioned on board, the multi-stakeholder approach that CCI brings was very helpful because the ITU was right there with us to pick up with us from where we had left off. And it brought back at least the process that we had started, which we had hitherto not finished. And so there was no duplication of efforts by bringing CCI on board because all these partners were there to help us implement from wherever we had left off with the ITU. Also, another thing that we looked at was the legislative front. It was quite revealing throughout the scope mission. Our country has tried over the last 4 or 5 years to put in key legislations to strengthen cyber crime implementation. And what we realized during the scoping mission was that a lot of the agencies that are either supposed to be enforcing or implementing the laws did not find the laws to be adequate. And so, and these were all questions that came up. So to a large extent, within the countries, government thought that there would be the need to actually review the state of those laws to see if they are really adequate for our purposes. Is it just an issue of those implementing who do not really understand? And these are some of the benefits that we have gotten from these processes. Also, enforcement issues was very big because we gave CCI the opportunity to meet with key agencies of government that were doing enforcement of cybercrime issues. And it was quite obvious that we were not getting the best, one, because they lacked the necessary training and all of that. And so this was one of the key areas that government thought it would be very good if we can collaborate further with CCI on this initiative. The reason being that with all the partners on board, we can bring to bear experts in this area who can actually assist the country where we fall short in implementing some of these things. To just end it all, I would just like to say that for the government of Ghana, the benefits of aligning with CCI in the implementation of our cybercrime initiatives was at least the benefit from similar legal systems and institutions as a result of Commonwealth. the similarity of the language, the ability to collaborate with the several partners that some of which we've already been engaged in, so as not to lead to duplication of efforts in that area. And to a large extent, CCI to us is more of a one-stop shop to dealing with our cybercrime issues. I think that would be it. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I'd now like to open up for discussions with questions and comments from the floor. Yes. Uganda.
Thank you very much, Chair. I want to once again appreciate the initiative of CCI. I said this in Costa Rica, that this was coming in at the right time when most of our governments over the last decade have been going through a process that has actually been described by my Ghana colleague. In Uganda, a year ago, we enacted a set of four laws: electronic transactions law, electronic signatures law, the computer misuse law, and interception of communications. And all these were geared towards combating cybercrime as one of the objects. But one year down the road, there are challenges. Which challenge also could have actually been foretold, because when these laws were being passed, it took 10 years during the process, because there was lack of capacity in the people that are involved in the process of formulating the laws right away up to Parliament. And now we're having challenges with the other organs, the investigation, the litigation, the prostitution, the judiciary. They all seem not to have taken up the issues that are aligned therein. So now, where I'm coming from now is, I heard about this 3 months ago, and I'm hearing it about again now when I'm at the ICANN meeting. Back home, over the last 3 months, whoever I talk to about the CCI that should maybe have known about it, no one is aware about it. So I'm wondering the mechanism that security is going to put in place to communicate with the national stakeholders. The national stakeholders, of course, they are operating different models, and there is no way in which this can happen without establishing national contacts within the Commonwealth countries. I don't know if you're going to do it through the Ministers of Foreign Affairs, because in some of our countries, they are the ones that represent us at the Commonwealth Secretariat, or if you're going to do it through the ministers in charge of technology or something like that. So the mechanism is what I want to see of how this can be be communicated to proliferate down at the stakeholders, because the key issue is awareness. And I'm glad you're saying that there's going to be a presentation of how people can access can access information for request for support and things like that. So I'm looking towards the mechanism that will create a linkage between Secretariat and the participating countries, so that the message can really reach down. Thank you.
Thank you. Very good question. I think that's an issue that the steering committee and the executive management group will have to think about. But I think off the cuff, outreach and awareness is going to be a key area the steering committee and the secretariat will have to put in as an urgent activity in terms of just reaching out to Commonwealth countries and others as well in terms of creating awareness regarding the initiative and the toolkit itself. Yes, Mark. Okay.
Thanks so much. That's a very good question, and obviously one that concerns us all on the executive management group. I'm on the executive management group for the UK government. We're one of the funding facilitator governments for this initiative, And we certainly want to make sure that there's efficient means available to us to communicate what the initiative provides in terms of opportunities for stakeholders, for governments, for law enforcement, for judiciary and so on in every Commonwealth member state. And I mean, there are some obvious ones. There are the Internet Governance Fora, the regional fora, which involve Commonwealth countries establishing some linkage, if resources allow, to be present, to have visibility, to speak about the initiative at those fora, and at national fora, if we can look at what's coming up over the next few months and so on. But it would be really valuable to help us in this formulation of a communication strategy to hear from people like yourselves. You know, I mean, do you have a particular suggestion with regard to Uganda and other states, how we can ensure that communication is valuable? So if you've got some suggestions for us, please do follow up, and we'd really appreciate that from the executive management group. Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you, Zahid. I think I'm just sort of have a few comments about many of the presentations made, and a question actually at the end. I think it's amazing how the way Ghana sort of you know, tiered all the various things. I mean, I'm just off the top of my head. There's policy strategy. There's the CERT. There's the legislation. There's the enforcement. You know, that took place, and it's wonderful to hear that, you know, it was because of the similar languages that it helped. So it really sort of ticks off so many issues that were sort of dealt with when the group got assistance. I mean, even with the existing CERT, with having had engagement from international organization, the CCI helps in re-energizing and re-establishing certain other efforts that exist. I think that's fantastic. I was wondering if it would be possible to get Ghana to sort of, or maybe you, to write up maybe a one-pager or two-pager that could be made available, you know, maybe on the ICANN website or the CIGF website. It kind of gives, you know, all the reasons you laid out would be a fantastic and an example that other countries who would come to future ICANN meetings about the Commonwealth or the IGF to know what was the experiences in Ghana, how Ghana gained from this. And also the question raised by my friend from Uganda, I think it's absolutely apt that this needs to be communication. My thoughts would be, since we're dealing with cybercrime, that maybe a good inroad, a powerful inroad. I tend to find that in Commonwealth countries, the Justice Ministry tends to be very sort of hands-on, really does have a lot of, you know, clout, whether it be with the Ministries of Interior or with law enforcement, etc., and legislative drafting. That may be the first port of call, really, as a thought. And moving to Dave. Dave, excellent presentation. It looks like we're moving towards what, you know, I was thinking about calling a secure Commonwealth CCTLD. So this is a great project. I hope, you know, all the success and best wishes with that. I was wondering, you know, what's the next event, if there is to be any? What is the next sort of steps that you would be taking with more Commonwealth CCTLDs, for instance, to sort of have this? This is a great example that you just gave of an event that took place in the Caribbean. So how do we move broader to sort of more Commonwealth countries? And if you had thoughts and ideas about that, I'd love to hear more about that. Say in the subcontinent, for instance, as an example. Thanks.
Joe and Dave can answer. Yeah, David, please.
So honestly, we're catching our breath. You know, the whirlwind of dealing with new TLDs, of a new CEO, of trying to execute on what we promised before our budget ran out on June 30th. You know, for those of you who don't understand, ICANN's fiscal year begins and ends on June 30th, and so we had a certain amount of money that we either spent or it disappeared. I've never understood that part of accounting, but so we wanted to spend it, and we were more than happy to try to apply it to the CTU, and we managed to, through Richard's coordination with some folks at Packet Clearinghouse and CTU, we managed to actually pull the rabbit out of the hat. You know, we still need to do a postmortem, and then to figure out, what would be the next best kind of training to deliver. Because we can bring equipment down, we can actually build things for people, and give them hands-on. There's a lot of different kinds of training that we can do. So I think for the near term, Yeah, I'll let John say something. For the near term, our focus is to try to try to continue to train in in the Caribbean and raise that level and maybe make them a model for how we might proceed. So John Crane is going to just amplify.
Yeah, so I lead most of the training programs. We also work with many other partners, and one of the things that I'd like to see us do is that when we're holding trainings with other partners, that we work through the CCA to bring Commonwealth countries into those trainings as well. So, you know, I know, for example, we'll be talking to LAC-TLD later this week about doing some training in the Caribbean, where there are, of course, Caribbean countries. So we're going to look for as many opportunities as we can to bring the Commonwealth countries into existing trainings and to apply any dedicated trainings that we can.
Yeah, just to add a little to what has already been said, in response to the gentleman from Uganda, we'll hear really for the next couple of days, and I think that we would like to really talk to you specifically about how we really go about communicating with the right really sources in your country. I mean, the whole purpose of this really workshop is precisely to really get people to know about this this initiative, and then to follow up from there. Interestingly enough, really Techie is here today as a result of really a program that she was attending a year ago in Malta, or something that's quite different, but we had a session on really cybersecurity. So that's how the contact came about. We just finished really 2 weeks ago. We had a really Commonwealth really program. It was on regulatory frameworks, but we have really introduced a module on this in this on internet governance and very specifically on cybersecurity. Saheed, as a matter of fact, was very much involved in the design and the actual facilitation of the program. And apart from 30 participants from different parts of the Commonwealth, we also had some people from the new government in Libya. So this is how we are really making people aware of this. And if we can chat just a little after this and then take it from there. Thank you.
Thank you. Joe, any other comments and questions? Okay, then I'd like to invite Lara just to explain how to get involved with the initiative. Please, Lara.
Thank you, Alice. So, the title of the presentation is "How do you start the process to make a formal request?" And Techie made reference to the scoping mission. So, receiving the request and the scoping mission, and that's level zero. But I think there's level one, and I think there's level zero. And you can start by contacting myself. You can do that through the ComNet Foundation website or the Commonwealth Internet Governance Forum website. If you go to all the contact forms, they point to my email address. So I receive any communication off that website. And through a series of conversations, we facilitate this formal request that Techie was referencing. A number of calls will take place between us and yourself and partners that will be contributing to the work. And the letter really is quite important to evidence the political commitment of this work that we will be talking about. That will take place through the CCI. And that's really the process. We start from there. We use different templates according to whether it's regional, it's country, whether the request is specific. It just emanates from a number of conversations that will take place. So feel free to email me any questions. If you do come across a project description document, you will find my email address on the front of the document and also on the back, on the website, anyway. So I look forward to hearing from you.
Thank you, Lara. Zahid, did you want to add something?
I was just saying, what is the email address?
Oh, yeah, sorry. Well, my email address is laura.pace at comnet.org.mt. But if you go to our website and the CIGF website, go to the contact form, you will be contacting me. You won't be contacting anybody else. So,
yes, please.
Hi, my name is Biran. I'm from the Gambia. I just had a suggestion, and I don't know if it's a question or not, but with regards to disseminating information about the CCI, I would suggest, I noticed you had a session in the Caribbean, was the Caribbean Network Operating Group. We have something like that in the African region as well, AFNOG, which is becoming very popular. It was recently held in the Gambia. We had over 20 people from 23 different countries in Africa. So that could be a way of also possibly, you know, disseminating information about CCI. It could be a one-stop shop, in addition to the national face-to-face IGF, as well as the regional one, which is actually happening in Sierra Leone in a few days. So that would be a good start.
Thank you, Mark. Yes.
Thanks very much. That's very helpful information. And I hope we can rush out a contact for the Sierra Leone National IGF. Get a link somehow, a flyer or something for Sierra Leone, if we haven't actually already got that. But anyway, there is going to be a workshop on the initiative in Baku at the national at the global IGF. Just to add that, and just coming back to the communication to Lara at Comnet. I mean, I'm right in thinking, Lara, aren't I, that this could be from any stakeholder community. It doesn't have to go through the government. I mean, it's you know, we're really open to proposals from anybody or any entity or community involved in the cybercrime area or contributing to initiatives in the cybercrime area, or potentially wanting to, and looking to the CCI to help with that process. I think that's
yeah.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, you're
and,
right.
The other point, I guess at some point after that communication exchange, some physical meeting would need to be set up, but most of the key sort of establishing the grounds for a potential project is done online, so there's no cost to the...
No, we try and avoid as much as possible the cost. And yes, most of the conversations would be... I don't think a physical meeting would take place before a scoping mission. Like, for example, in Ghana, all the negotiations took place over the phone and online, and the letters were exchanged via email. And also another thing I wanted to say, the Commonwealth has national points of contact throughout the whole Commonwealth. And there are national points of contact on the ICT4D program that the Commonwealth runs. Now, there are 48 national points of contact in the 54 countries, and I've just looked up Uganda's, and Uganda unfortunately doesn't have a point of contact. It's one of the missing six. But we keep these national points of contact up to date with developments, and we try and drive information both at these international conferences, international meetings, as well as through the Commonwealth points of contact. So, yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, Lara. Yes, please.
My name is George Nyabuga from AFRINIC, originally from Kenya, but now working in Mauritius. I just wanted to say, in addition to what she just said, that we host the WIS database, and we also have the RPKI, which is the certification instrument that can be used to enhance cybersecurity, I suppose, as we try to potentiate the efforts in fighting cybercrime. That we at AFRINIC are interested, obviously, in such issues, and we are working very closely with various organizations, including AFNOG, including CTO, for example, and the Commonwealth, in trying to enhance cybersecurity in Africa. Thank you.
Any other comments or questions? Okay, then I'll move to close them. Oh, yes, please, Gambia.
I just wanted to know whether, in addition to obviously the support that you're giving in kind, whether there are any financial support for countries who are interested. I may have missed that during the presentation, so.
Jo, please.
Yeah. Really, the approach really that is really adopted in this is we first try to find out, you know, what the needs are. In most countries, we do advocate to the extent as possible if the country is not really clear on what its specific requirements are. So the country may be aware that it really needs legislation, or it has legislation but it needs some training of law enforcement people, or it needs some technical support. So, really typically what is done, what we advocate in this is for a very short scoping mission, once we have an understanding of what the needs really may be, to try to get a sense of a really better sense of what is needed and the resources which would be required really in that. Then one would go from there to deploying maybe a person or a team of people to work on a strategy in conjunction with the country. And it's that strategy, the purpose of the strategy is to tell you really, first of all, what the gaps are with respect to security. Are the gaps really not having the adequate legislation in place? Are the gaps really technical? Is it training of your police or national security, you know, forces, or whatever that may be? And in each instance, there'll be an attempt to really get a measure of specifically what would be required to address the legislative really gaps that you may have, or the training. To cost that, and then work in conjunction with you, the resourcing of that will come from these partner agencies by way of technical support, and if there is financing of some of these initiatives which will be required, then we will work in conjunction with you to approach donor agencies for that. Does that answer your question? Thank you.
Sahid, please.
I don't wish to say that the CCI, because I can't speak necessarily on their behalf on this point of saying that there could be finances available. I think it really brings people together, and I don't know whether any partners would like to fund things as they go on. But let me share certain examples in my region. For instance, when you have these sort of assistances that can provide you with scopings, you see, a lot of times you go into a country, the country doesn't even know what it should need. It happens in my country, for instance, unless that awareness is created. So once you have an output as to, all right, these are the things that are gaps, and these are the things that you need, the great thing about that is that can initiate a conversation between your governments and, say, you know, the World Bank, for instance, and others. And so a whole bunch of people can either be connected through the CCI or even otherwise, having obtain that sort of, let's call it a raising of profile of certain aspects, those issues can then be taken up by, you know, the ADB if you're in the Asian region or with other organizations. So it does have that sort of impact where otherwise these aspects or the requirements of funding just never raise in profile, and nobody even knows that this needs to be done. So I think that's what, you know, that at least that much is a help to this. Thanks.
Thank you. I see no other requests. The microphone. Okay, I want to thank you all very much, starting with the panelists for the great presentations, and to all of you who've participated. And we look forward to seeing you again during the next ICANN meeting and at the Global IGF. Thank you.